Hi, I'm Luke Casterly and welcome to It All Works Out, a podcast series from A Lust for Life, where the Leaving Cert class of COVID-19 talk about the emotional fallout from what's been a crazy year and the uncertainty of what's to come. We hear time and time again that the Leaving Cert is good for those who have the ability to learn a certain way, but that it's not one size fits all. It works for some, but leaves too many out in the cold to be an effective measurement for everyone. For some, it's demoralising. Some are left stressed, and even worse, feeling like they're not intelligent by the measure of this one blunt instrument. For years, young people have been screaming for Leaving Cert reform. And this year, by default, we saw a possibility of change. COVID-19 has changed all of our lives. But if one good thing was to come out of it, it would be that the government finally listened to young people. In this episode, I talked to Brezzy, Kira Fanning from the Irish Second Level Students Union, and my friends from the class of COVID-19. We talk about the huge need for Leaving Cert reform, and about how young people prove that when we use our collective voice, we can make a difference.
My name is Kira Fanning. I'm from Tipperary, and I'm the honorary president now of the Irish Second Level Students Union. So I was ISSU president for 2019-20. And like more broadly, I suppose I'm more of a student activist. So before ISSU, like I was involved with National Youth Council of Ireland, Corlin and Oge, and the Ombudsman for Children's Office. But for the last year, I've been heavily involved in leading the ISSU, and I'm also just finished my first year in Trinity College.
She reflected on her experience of the Leaving Cert.
I found the entire experience incredibly stressful. And the thing that like most stood out to me was how exhausting it was. And I think that that's kind of a word that people don't use very much. It's always like it was really stressful and I was under so much pressure. But it's such an exhausting experience because you're in school, you know, 9 to 4 for your actual classes of like 8 hours a day, and then you have like the 2 lunch breaks or whatever. And then if you do after school study, you're in until 6 or 7. So you're actually in the school buildings from 9 to 6, and then you get home, have your dinner, like have half an hour break or whatever, and then you're studying again from 7 to 10 or 7 to 11 at night. And that was the thing that really drained me, was how hard you had to work for 2 whole years, that it was all just down to the 2 weeks at the end. And you know, no matter how well I did during 5th and 6th year, I just felt like it was so pointless. And myself and like my friend group, I think after the mocks, we all just hit a wall where we were like, we've been doing this for so long now, and even though you're at the home stretch, I found that was the hardest part for me, was the last few months to actually motivate myself to keep going. Because my school is very academic focused, and although my parents are like amazing and they only ever told me to try my best, like I did feel under a huge amount of pressure to perform really well. And the thought of everything depending on 2 weeks in June like terrified me, and I performed way better like looking back in class tests and stuff in a huge like variety of subjects than I actually did when I got my results. And you know, I took higher level maths for the extra 25 points, even though I am shocking at maths, and that caused like tears and tears and tears. Like every night I would cry over my maths homework, but I like wanted to drop ordinary so bad, and I wouldn't let myself because I was so focused on keeping the extra points and just getting like enough to get those extra points and stuff. And I think that it really didn't allow me to actually like play to my strengths. And I took like history, geography, home ec, and they were really, really text heavy subjects, and there was stages there where I was like at home trying to learn 30 essays in a night, which just like is impossible. But I think it's worth saying, even though like I wasn't going for medicine, I wasn't going for anything that required me to put in like hours upon hours, I still felt guilty every time I wasn't doing something for school. Like even 10 minutes, like if I sat down and had a cup of tea, I was like, well, even though I'm having a cup of tea, I could still be reading over my history essays right now, or I could be doing something like that or something productive. And my self-worth was like definitely dependent on my academic performance. I think I remember like leaving my history exam when it was done and like bawling, crying in the car because the essays I had learned didn't come up. And I was distraught. Like I got like H1s in history for like the 2 years of senior cycle. I got a H4 in the real thing. And I think that was like cutting because it was so not reflective. But I think like my experience at the Leaving Cert, it could have been worse, but it definitely was not positive. And I had nightmares like for weeks after it was finished. I would wake up every night thinking I had to sit it again.
This year's Leaving Cert students went through their senior cycle preparing for the exams, but finishing with calculated grades. So who better to talk to about that all-important Leaving Cert reform? This is Sean.
This especially showed how much needs to be done with it. The biggest, I think, example of that was how every country across Europe was able to, like that, cancel exams, predicted grades, completely switch into that, and there was no problem, there was no messing about. And then there was Ireland that managed to draw out the decision for as long as is humanly possible. You see so many other countries have coursework that they're able to fall back on, that they're able to rely on, that we just don't have.
This is Ellen.
This whole lockdown and online learning is just the absolute necessity for reforming the Leaving Cert, because the bottom line is, if we had some sort of system of continuous assessment already, there would definitely be a lot less questions about what would we do with the 6 years this year. It would have been a lot easier to deal with us rather than wondering what will we do about this set of exams over 1 month.
You know, some things work, some things don't work, some things just need improvement.
This is Alicia.
But I think like the major issue with it is that we've come into a period of time now where young people and like student voice is so important. Like obviously like 20, 30, even 40 years ago, like young people, you know, my mom used to say, you know, children are better seen, not heard. The fact that that was even a saying like just terrifies me. But, you know, the times were different. And like you said, 1925, the times are very different now. And of course, curriculums have been updated and changed and things like that. But it's not enough if young people aren't having input in it, because the world is changing so fast. And Generation Z and millennials are leading a lot of sectors now and creating new kind of businesses and sectors within different industries that didn't exist before because of the new digital age, which is extremely important in terms of science and everything really in the world right now. So I think for students to have input in their learning is vastly important. And like we saw it with the junior cycle reform, like it didn't work because teachers on the floor and students didn't have much or any input in it. And that's the core thing. If they can really get like proper student voice involved in it, I think it could be wonderful, because I think, you know, we're one of the most educated workforces in the world. We have one of them in Ireland, and, you know, we can only improve off that. So, you know, why don't we start incorporating, you know, real life skills? Like, let's look at what, you know, businesses want from their employees. Let's look at what different sectors need out there in the world right now as we're growing, rather than like kind of staying by the book and kind of this very just restrictive sense of education that I think doesn't allow for creativity a lot of the time. And doesn't allow for real life application as well.
The way that this has gone, the government and the state exams don't ever want to be in this position again, where so much chaos and uncertainty is occurring when they are just in such a strange position.
This is Connor.
And that's why we came with calculated grades. So the only thing that I can see happening as a result of all this is the move towards continuous assessment and having it not based on a month of exams, and having it based from maybe even right from the start, or even from past into senior cycle, it was just assessment through the years, and a more fair process than just a month of exams. I see that definitely happening, simply because this necessity breeds innovation. There we go. That should be a fucking podcast title. The sort of things that are going to come out of this, that we're going to look back on, you know, how significant, you know, people be like, oh, calculated grades, that's fucking significant, man. That needs to be put into perspective. Like, Jesus, calculating the grades, I know it's not just the way I see it, it's not just a nod in the general direction of continuous assessment, it's a whole fucking leap. Like, that is continuous assessment in a nutshell. I know it's imperfect and it's very raw, in that the teachers didn't know this was happening, sort of no official training or any real sort of sense of what is appropriate and it's all being very much so, you know, freestyle, improvised as it goes along. But I mean, that is continuous success in a nutshell. So it's the only thing that I can see happening as a result of this. And God knows it is long overdue.
Back to Kira.
100%. I think the Leaving Cert is in need of total reform. And I think this country has an absolutely toxic relationship with the Leaving Cert in itself. And we're almost proud of how awful an experience it is for our young people to go through. Like, I think with the class of 2020 and COVID-19 and dealing with, you know, the Leaving Cert in the pandemic, the reaction to the cancellation or even students calling for some kind of provisions or cancellations, the rage that people who had sat there Leaving Cert 20, 30 years ago had over this is like absolutely disproportionate to how it was going to affect their lives. And even when Leo Varadkar was in the Dáil and he was talking, like laughing about him having a nightmare about his Leaving Cert maths still to this day, it's not a marker of like academic excellency as a country that we have nightmares about our exams. It's a sign of a system that isn't fit for purpose. And I think that this country doesn't realize that. And like, it's completely necessary that we actually review how we look at education, and particularly with the Leaving Cert, because there is this kind of concept out there that the Leaving Cert is the only marker of education in Ireland, and that if you don't have it, you're basically a failure, which is just so not true. But I think that the only way we can fix that is through reform of the exam itself. And do you know, the stress and mental health impact that the exam has outside of the class of 2020, like even on a normal year, it you can break it down into like academic stress and then examination stress. So you have the academic stress of huge amount of work, like 7 subjects at least for most people, with huge curriculums and the day-to-day workload of that. So like you're in 9 to 6 and then you're like studying at home until 11 or 12, and that goes on for 2 years. So you have that like academic stress, but you also have the examination stress of sitting an all or nothing exam. And that's really what like stands out to me, is how big a deal the actual exam is at the end. It's like, it's completely down to that. And you have some subjects obviously where you have projects and practicals, but the like merit that is given to the project and practicals in no way adds up to the merit that's given to the exam. So even if you think that you've performed really well in that, you can't fall back on it, because there's still so much that you need to do in that 2 hour, 3 hour time in June, like when you're doing them all in one go. And like the way that we have the Leaving Cert currently, it destroys teenagers' relationship with learning. Like, there's no form of encouraging lifelong learning or encouraging people to actually take an interest in what they're studying in school, because your actual like self-esteem and academic self-image is so destroyed because it's so numerical and like quantitative. So when we have something that like tells people, okay, you're like a 400 points candidate, you're a 200 points candidate, maybe you'll get 600, you are literally basing your self-esteem and like your self-image when it comes to your academics and your intelligence completely on a number. And I think that that is so toxic for us.
We spoke about what this reform might look like. Over to Sean.
More continuous assessment, more kind of project work throughout your fifth and sixth year, and not just this one giant exam that is the be all and end all. Stuff that, like I said, that almost you could fall back on. I know obviously this never happened before. There was never a virus or a pandemic that we had to cancel it for. So there's nothing that they could look to and be like, oh, well, the last time this happened, they did this. I think it's definitely something we need to start looking towards in a serious way, because this has shown just how many flaws there are in the Leaving Cert.
I think on a broader scale, the most important thing is...
Over to Ellen.
...bringing in continuous assessment, because it's just so unrealistic that after 14 years of education, it all boils down to 7 or 8 exams in June. And even one of the pushbacks against calculated grades this like over the past few months has been, oh, well, I haven't been going to school for 2 years to work for 2 years. I've been going to school for a Leaving Cert. But I think that argument just exposes the flaws of the senior cycle now, because it shouldn't be about a couple of exams over 1 month. It should be the work you do over 2 years, over 14 years, that count to the state. And I also think actually the past few months have shown how important technology is going to be for and the importance of it in our schools. I know, I think computer science has been introduced as a subject in the senior cycle, and I think there should be way more emphasis on it now, because obviously it looks like people will be starting to work from home more. We're always being told that in 10 years time there will be jobs that don't even exist now, like when most of us will be working in stuff like IT, like computer science programming. So I think definitely there should be more investment in schools to have the facilities to help people learn more about computer science and information technology.
Well, I've actually been talking to a few people. I don't know if it's true or not. I haven't really looked into it.
This is Jamesy.
That they're actually trying to get their calculated grades in. I'm not sure if that's true or not. But that's like your workout throughout the year. That'd actually be very good as well. Like doing the task year, because it reflects like your yearly work. So that'd be kind of a thing that could bring in as well. You could be studying for this period and then you get a test. So you're studying for that and then you do the test, and then it's for your year throughout work. Like, so throughout the year, you're doing that work and you're getting graded on it. I think it's better. Like if some people wanted to sit an exam, they could be given that option, I think, to be judged on your sitting exam or be judged on your calculated grades. So I think that could work, yeah.
As someone who missed a lot of school, right?
Alicia.
I think continuous-based assessments could be implemented in a smart way, rather than probably the way they were done for the junior cycle reform. I think they could be a key component. I mean, when you look at the difference, I suppose, between college exams where you have modules and things, it's very different to the Leaving Cert. And if you miss, kind of, I suppose for the Leaving Cert, if you miss one chapter in school, like, you're probably not going to get to it again until like March of Leaving Cert, which is kind of worrying. So there's definitely ways around these things. Like, I would vouch for a certain element of continuous-based assessment. I think more subject choice. I think for certain subjects, like I said, want to go a real-life application to the subject. Like in terms of, like, let's just say geography, like there's so much now that is relevant to like climate change, climate action. I know that's not entirely what geography is about, but that could become such a key component to, you know, because there's so many NGOs now and businesses who take on corporate responsibility when it comes to topics like that. I'm just using this as a very, very basic example, but, you know, things like that. I mean, why aren't we thinking like that? Why aren't we thinking for those sort of jobs, that sort of country and sector? And I just think it could be really interesting to delve into. So yeah, I think those things, and probably as well, like, helping people to deal with stress, helping people to deal with you know, exam situations is another thing that nobody teaches you how to do. So I think an aspect of that should definitely be included in the program itself, like in the reform.
Over to Connor.
A change. Oh my God, I feel like Sam Cooke. I feel like a change is gonna come. Why am I breaking a song all of a sudden? Okay, the way I see it, and I kind of outlined it there, is I feel that I kind of poked at the idea that it's obviously going to be a move towards continuous assessment, but how that is done, whether that's from first year upwards, is there an argument to be made there that, Jesus, you're not fully formed at all, you're a feckin' shell of an eagish that doesn't really know what they want in life, and you're not going to seriously give any heed to your studies, because why the hell would you do that when you're 12 or 13 going in first year? Like, so there could be an argument to say that maybe it's just senior cycle that maybe continuous assessment should be done. Junior cycle is obviously continuous assessment at the minute, as we're seeing the CBAs, but in the seriousness of the Leaving Cert, it's grand because the Junior Cert's inconsequential like that, but with the way I see it, so maybe it's just from after Junior Cert, we'll say that there is the person's doing the work and they're handing the assignments, and they're continually building up almost like a portfolio of work that says, this is my capability and this is how good I am at this subject, and this is the grade that I think the grade level that I am, and they're handing that to a teacher, and the teacher is recognizing that and knowing that. So after 2 years of doing that, fifth, sixth, the teacher has a clear idea of this person is this, that person is that, and this is how hard they work, and that's what they deserve, because I have evidence that is significant that supports that theory, and it's not just me because I like that person. Obviously, there's going to be biases, like with everything, but professionalism prevails in any hope, and there will be officially training, because this calculated group, this calculated grade stuff, it's very loosey-toosey, you know. There's probably, there's not, it's very improvised, like I said, made up kind of as we go along. If there was a proper system in place, and that system, the calculated grade system, was developed so the teachers were trained to be impartial and able to give a clear indication of the level that their students were at. And obviously we have the bell curve. We obviously can't leave that behind us. So look, it'll just leave it more, even with the bell curve, it would leave it a more accurate representation of the person's ability and skill in the subject, rather than here's 3 hours, be creative, on demand, use the knowledge that you've learned over 5 years to sit this paper. And sure, hopefully you'll get your points. Say a few Hail Marys as a... did you ever hear Gavin James' new song, Boxes? Say a few Hail Marys and hopefully things will be all right. Like, you know, that's what he was saying in that song. So it's kind of like that. But that's the direction that I see the Leaving Cert going in.
Kira again.
It's hard to find a country that doesn't have a final end of education exam. But the difference between ourselves and like international best practice is the high stakes nature and like the all or nothing nature of the Leaving Cert. And I think that is the first thing that needs to be altered. And I think that we need to look at more continuous assessment, but we need it for all subjects. We don't need it just for, you know, people who are particularly inclined in humanities that you get like the history and geography projects or whatever. We need to actually review the subjects and say, okay, how much of the rote learning within this can we like minimize, and make sure that students can actually take it step by step, and that their final grade will be a reflection of their actual academic merit and not just how much they can cram into their brain and then write out in 2.5 hours. So I think we need to kind of implement steps along the way that reduces all of the pressure on the final exam. And that's not a huge thing to expect from reform either. Like, we know that there needs to be more continuous assessment in the Leaving Cert, and I really do think that the NCCA review is going to show that. But I think that that's like the first thing that needs to be changed. And then I think we really need to review the amount of information we expect students to learn off as well. So whether that looks like reducing the number of subjects that you study, and that you would only do, you know, 4 or 5, and you do them maybe in the same amount of detail, or like slightly increase the amount of detail people need to learn it off. Or, you know, you reduce the curriculum per subject to make the workload more manageable. But we need to make sure that we're not expecting students to learn off the same amount that they are right now, because it's not a case of if they're not learning it off, they won't know it. Because the thing is, when you leave the exam hall in June after that exam, you forget it anyway. Like, I've forgotten everything that I wrote in those exams. I wouldn't be able to tell you one thing, even if it was like, if you asked me to recall the names of the poets, like, I probably would miss them, because you are just under so much pressure to put them out in that time that you don't actually absorb any of the information you're learning off. So I think we really need to look at reducing that workload, or at least letting people take less subjects and then play it to their advantage in like what their skills are or what they're particularly interested in. And I think we view the Leaving Cert as primarily a transitional exam, and we want to make sure that students are ready to go into a third level of the workplace. But the Leaving Cert in itself is completely missing any kind of skills-based knowledge or like critical thinking or applying your knowledge. So I think that we really need to focus on minimizing the rote learning within subjects and making sure that we're actually teaching students stuff that they will use once they leave sixth year. And the ISSU like did a survey of students around what they wanted from senior cycle, and the things that really most stood out were the fact that people, like 85% of the students who did it, said that they would prefer to have less subjects and learn them in more detail than the current way of having 7 subjects and 6 are counted, and you have to do, you know, fairly sparse detail but a huge amount that you have to cover. And also I think we really need to review giving extra points for certain subjects. I think that giving the extra points for maths is something that anyone who is numerically kind of advanced is obviously going to love, because if you're inclined in that way, you're being rewarded for it by the system. But if you're not particularly like inclined with maths or STEM or whatever it is, you actually are just, you're kind of losing out for something that isn't your fault. And we're completely placing merit on certain subjects and we don't think about how that reflects on others. So I think that that's putting people like at an inherent disadvantage before they even go into the exams. So I think we really need to look at the way that we actually value the subjects. And also the LCA needs to be promoted way more. And I think that people forget when we're talking about Leaving Cert Reform is that the LCA is actually a good template for what we want the Leaving Cert Established to do. But not that we need to review the Leaving Cert Established to now make it LCA, but we need to let students know that there is this other option and it needs to be promoted as something that's more viable. But to do that, we need to make sure that we give the Leaving Cert Apply the same progression paths and that we actually give it the same merit as Leaving Cert Established, because right now there is a culture of it not kind of standing up to the same standard, and we completely need to review that. But I think, you know, all of those kind of internal things that need to be reviewed from an educational standpoint, like those would be my main things. But I think as a society as well, we really need to review our relationship with the Leaving Cert and give it less media prominence, like around the exams and around, you know, like the time leading up to it. Because the State Exams Commission actually did like a study on this a few years ago, but out of the entire, like internationally, only Egypt and the state of New York give the same extent of media prominence to their final exams as Ireland. Like, it's ridiculous how much we cover the Leaving Cert and how much pressure we put on it, like as a society and within the media and on the news and stuff. Even though students are getting that from their teachers, they're getting it from their parents, they're getting it from everywhere in school, we still put so much pressure and so much kind of attention on it that I think if we actually want to change it or we want to make a difference in that way, we need to hold ourselves accountable to how much we talk about it and how much like weight we put on it as well. So I think that there's like so much that needs to be changed, but those would kind of be like my top things.
Ciara continued to tell us what the Irish Second Level Students' Union has already done to work on this reform.
The senior cycle has been a topic of discussion for the ISSU for a long time. And I think when you think of even Second Level Students' Union, the first thing that comes to mind is the Leaving Cert, because it's the thing that most people leave the education system with a bad taste in their mouth over. And I think it's a lot of kind of a recruitment drive as well for ISSU, is people who are really annoyed about the Leaving Cert, the senior cycle, and that's kind of what makes them want to have their voice heard in it. So we discussed it at a huge amount of our events. As far as an entire kind of review goes of senior cycle, in 2018 we launched a student survey on senior cycle reform, and that was submitted to the NCCA this year. And we also break down the issues. So I think the issue with like Leaving Cert Reform and trying to tackle that as an organisation is that it's a huge question that we need to have, and we can't be the only ones pushing it. So we have had kind of more success when we break down our specific aims. So the last year on its own, we've done a campaign around medical emergencies, and then the like subsequently the State Exams Commission launched a review of the reasonable accommodations for certificate exams. So we made a submission on that. This year we've also done an Errata submission on the SUSE grant. Last year we did one on the relationships and sexuality education, and we also contributed to the NCCA senior cycle review. So there has been a huge amount of work done on it, but it is something that I think we really need to do a whole review on and make sure that we can get as many voices involved in that as possible. Going forward, I think post COVID-19, the conversation in education is very much directed at the necessity of a review of the senior cycle and the Leaving Cert. And I think that the ISSU will play a really important role in that, because of the role that we've had in the advisor group for the state exams throughout COVID-19. I think that it's important that we continue to amplify student voices in that way, and I have no doubt that the incoming executive will do like amazing work on that, and that they'll take the lead on kind of directing that conversation at senior cycle review and making sure that students' voices are heard, because I think that we have seen the downfalls of our examination system over the last few months when we realised that we actually have kind of very few alternatives to sitting the final exam because we haven't set students up for that. So I think that definitely the ISSU have done a lot, but there's a lot more to do on this topic.
One thing was for certain this year. We proved that young people can use their voice to push for change. So how can we use this to mobilise a complete reform of the Leaving Cert? Again, Sean.
Like what you just said, I think this has shown just how strong students' voices can be. We students' voices managed to get this changed without being able to protest, without being able to meet in large groups and hold, you know, demonstrations and stuff like that. We had to do everything we did. We did through Zoom, we did through email, through text, over social media. And we showed just how influential students can be. So what I would say to most students is join organizations like the Irish Second Level Students Union, who you, of course, are the incoming vice president for. But like the work that they do goes completely, I think. Like up until the whole Leaving Cert thing, I don't think most people had actually ever heard of us. I don't think a lot of people in school, when I was telling people, oh yeah, I got elected to this thing, oh yeah, and what's that? What's that do? There was no knowledge of that. And I think now that, especially after what's happened, the ISSU has that in with a lot of people in government. Their name is known, but a lot of news networks, a lot of papers, a lot of radio stations. So there's a lot more sway there now than there would have been, you know, this time last year or even back in March or April. So I think organizations like that, of course, I'm only naming one off the top of my head because it's the only one I've been a part of, but there are, of course, far more youth organizations across the country that do similar work.
I definitely think outgoing Leaving Cert students should definitely still concern themselves with the senior cycle.
Again, Ellen.
Because now we've all seen firsthand how flawed the system can be in terms of our stress levels and how basically changeable and fallible it is. And I definitely think, again, the past few months have shown the importance of or groups like the ISSU in terms of getting our voices heard. I think it is so important to involve yourself with those, like doing the surveys, finding out who represents you and being able to discuss your issues with them so we can be part of the change.
I don't know if I said this before.
Alicia again.
But I've never seen so many people calling out Joe McHugh in all my life or any politician. Like, it was fantastic. Not personally attacking Joe McHugh, but just in general, like the kind of the political movement that began, I suppose, in a sense, of kind of how unjustified it all felt to the young people, especially when, like, we know ourselves because we're involved with ISSU, the Irish Secondary Schools Union. Like, the amount of attention that young people were giving the issue was incredible. And of course, if something is directly affecting you, it's something like the Leaving Cert, you know, you're going to get involved and you're going to be active on it. But it was just crazy for me as someone who's been, you know, who would be naturally interested in politics and who's been involved in different campaigns and stuff, to see so many young people like writing letters, you know, taking to social media, talking to each other about it, like sending emails. Like, it was just, it was brilliant. And I think, of course, they should stay involved. Like, if anything, this is an example of how a group of people, doesn't even have to be young people, but it's just even more empowering that it was a group of under 18-year-olds or under 19-year-olds essentially doing it. That, you know, with the pressure that we put on, that we can change something as kind of standardized and as traditional as the Leaving Cert. I think that was really an amazing feeling for me as a young person, not even as someone who's a Leaving Cert student, but just as a young person, to see what we can actually achieve when we all just kind of stick it to them, and I suppose stand together for a greater good.
Instead of regarding the media as an enemy,
Connor,
I think there's, you know, there's so many platforms and publications out there. The Irish Times, iRadio are a big one, News Talk, your local radio station, you know, there are so many platforms out there that you can engage with that are more than happy to get your side of the story out there because it's a valid narrative.
As someone who has used their voice to create a difference, I asked Brezzy how we can motivate young people to drive real change.
Well, if there's anything that the last few years has shown us, is that young people are probably the only group of people who are actually shown any leadership. whether it's climate change, whether it's mental health, whether it's all these other social issues that we have to address in the world. It's young people driving those calls. And it's important also, I think, in certain cases, some of those kind of empowering young people to find their own solutions and be part of their own solutions. And there's 50-50 with that as well. You can't just, as I said, say to young people, you decide what you want to do and we'll follow you. But I think if as young people, if you couldn't be empowered from what you're seeing around the world right now, we always assume things like social activism is shouting at somebody on Twitter or it's a hashtag. It isn't as bollocks a hashtag, and it's not shouting at somebody. Activism and getting change and driving social change requires one thing and one thing only: collectiveness. You need to be collective at groups. You need to create movements, and you need to have a call to action, because so many social movements don't have a call to action. They're just people shouting. And there's a lot of people shouting now. So if you want your voice to be heard, get a group of people together and think about what it is you want to say, how you want to say it, and how do you think that would be best communicated. Because I'm telling you now, we've hit a world where there is so many people shouting that we're not hearing anything anymore. So the people who are able to do it well and able to do it with vision, with passion, and also respecting all parties involved here, you will then drive the change that you want to be part of. But as I said, we have this amazing leadership coming, but then we have groups of people who think just by saying hashtag kindness that they're grand now, and sure they're kind or sound because they put a hashtag up. Bollocks. We need more social activism. There's so much bullshit in the world that needs fixing and needs more equality of, but we need it to be smart and we need it to be outside the box thinking. And I think that's what I would say to young people and anyone who wants to do that, I'm with you. Whatever you need. I'm just an old lad now. I don't give a shite if you have a Leaving Cert or not. I'm well out of it. I still have my nightmares about it. I still sweat up middle of the night thinking about my Irish orals. But at the end of the day, my job isn't to change that. My job is to facilitate you as leaders. What can I do to help you? What can we do to help you? You tell us and you tell us what to do, because we haven't done an ideal job up to now.
I spoke to Bresi about what the Leaving Cert in Ireland might look like if it was supporting the ability of each young person.
The Leaving Cert is, for me, when I did it, and still is, not an adequate illustration of somebody's intelligence. I don't think it adequately gets across. And you could, the argument is that certain people are good under stress and others aren't, and that's part of it, but that's bullshit. You know, we need to create conditions where people's capacity to show what they learn, what they know, shines true. And the Leaving Cert, and generally the Irish education system, is good if you're good at learning. But learning is such a tiny part of education. Education is emotional intelligence, the capacity to communicate, the capacity to bring practical elements to what you are learning, and to do it over a space of time. And I've long since thought the Leaving Cert was just outdated. And the Irish education system is one thing. It's incredible. But it's not brave. It's a huge juggernaut, and it's very hard to change anything in it. But we're going to have to. We have to. We really do. It's important to point out with the Leaving Cert, young people need to be tested. There has to be an element of testing of some description. You can't just kind of wander through life and think you're not being pushed or tested at any stage, whether that's a job interview, whether that is a performance on stage, whether it's whether it's playing a match, whether it is a debating thing, whatever it is, whatever challenges that you face in life. Life isn't easy. You're meant to be challenged. You're meant to be put under pressure. But the reality is we're putting young people under this intense level of scrutiny without the skills. We're not teaching them the skills to deal with stress and to deal with the stuff that comes with it. So maybe the Leaving Cert would work if we had adequate support systems for coping strategies to teach young people how to deal with this stuff. But the reality is we're still relatively teaching the same stuff that I learned when I was in school, and tell me this is a different world to the 90s. I don't know if I would have survived this world, and that's a reality of my life. So I look at the Leaving Cert and I think to myself, no, we can do better than this, and we can support young people better, and we can actually get young people into jobs and into professions that they want to do and not that their parents want them to do. Because when I was going to college, everybody Now, I mean, everybody was trying to do commerce because they wanted to work in a bank. Now, that didn't work out very well, did it? Because 3-4 years later, the banking crisis hit. So if you don't want to work in a bank, don't fucking work in a bank. If you don't want to do commerce, don't do commerce. And we've created this thing with the education system. It's like back in the 80s where, you know, it was good to be a priest, or it was good to be a, you know, a post office or a guard. It was a good job for the family and they had status. We need to get away from that stuff. We need to let young people find what they want to do, and we need to educate them in that. So what I would love to see in an ideal world is an education system that comes into a 13 or 14 year old, says to them, what is it you love? What do you adore? What are you passionate about? Oh, art. Okay, cool. We're going to give you all the tools to cope so you can be the best of the best at that. But they don't. They go, you have to learn this, and this is the way forward. And that's the reality of it. I mean, and that's not me in any way. Some of those subjects are really important and you use them in various different ways. But, and you might find a 13-year-old who changed their mind when they're 16, but who cares? You're empowering them. And you're empowering them, if they change their mind at 16, to go, well, you know what? It's up to you. And that's the difference. I don't think our education system is empowering. I don't think it is at all. And I think we keep looking for solutions without actually asking young people, what the fuck do they want? What? And, you know, and when I say that, if you ask any young person what they want, they'll go, no exams. No, feck it. Just let us go do what we want. No, I don't mean like that. What do you want under the circumstances? Because there still is a duty of care of an education system to provide well-educated, well-rounded people who can go into the workforce and keep the economy going. But the reality being is, if young people, I think, are okay with that, they know they have to be in some way tested, but there has to be a better way of doing this. And they have to be part of the solution and not just be told by the Department of Education that this is the way it's going to be. And that's what I'd like to see.
One thing I've learned this year is just how much pressure the Leaving Cert puts on every student, regardless of their ability. But the more important thing I've learned is that it doesn't have to be this way. Young people amplified their voices and collectively made a difference. Now we're asking the government to keep listening and to take this opportunity to transform our education system for the better, in a way that caters to the individual needs of students and looks after the well-being of everyone. You've been listening to It All Works Out, hosted and produced by myself, Luke Casterly, along with the team at A Lust for Life. A big thanks to the class of COVID-19 and our guests who shared their stories and expertise. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media, rate and review it, and tell a friend who needs to hear it too.